Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You're tuned into Life is a Sacred Journey. Every week, we bring a new perspective to aging and caregiving. Here is your host, Michelle Pope.
Good morning and good afternoon and good evening, wherever you are in the virtual community of Life is a Sacred Journey. My name is Michelle Pope, and I am the host of Life is a Sacred Journey, and it is my honor and privilege every Friday morning at 8 a.m. to come and join you on this sacred journey of life. The purpose of Life is a Sacred Journey is to also bring in experts in the caregiving field that share their books and information with us on what they're doing or what they're learning about this whole phenomenon of caregiving and how it's changed in the 21st century from centuries ago, where communities were a lot more tight-knit and families stayed closer together, so there were generations to be there to care for people, not just for the elders but for the children. And so Life is a Sacred Journey is about that. It's also about the sacred journey that we're all on, regardless of age, where we are. I share some of the things that I'm experiencing as I'm aging. Some of you share in the chat, you know, what you're experiencing. We also have fun. We laugh, and we just kind of, this is a community of love. And so welcome if it's your first time, if it's your whatever 1,365th time, whatever time it is, welcome, and thank you so much. I want to say good morning to all of the people. Felicia and I had a meeting last week, and we got to look at the demographics of everyone that tunes in to Life is a Sacred Journey. And of course, California gets a big chunk of listenership, and the United States gets a big chunk of listenership. But we have people all over Europe, Dubai, Moldova, Belgium, Japan, South Africa. I know that's you, cuz. Thank you. Thank you. And just all over the world. I was sitting there just so shocked. And so thank you, all of you that, you know, whatever time you watch this, whatever time you get up and watch this, thank you so much. And I am so just honored, and I am truly humbled that whatever we bring to this platform resonates with you no matter where you are in the world. And so that means we're doing it right. And so thank you so much for your time, because I know people take time out to participate. And so thank you for your time. And then for all of you, die hard every Friday, no matter what, I go back and I see your names in the chat. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because of you, we also are making our mark in the virtual world as far as sharing our heart with the virtual world. So thank you so much, virtual community. So before we get started this morning, I thought I would do a little something with you, share with you. Because I just think, you know, so much is going on. Things are happening that I know I don't always take time for. But I want to talk about already this year, and not from a place, I'm not trying to make you sad, but I just want to lift up a moment of silence for all those people already this year that we have lost. You know, Christopher Plummer was one of my favorite actors of all time, okay? I mean, like, from Black and White. Anybody who knows Michelle Pope well, I love Black and White movies. Back in the day, when they were all young and just starting out, Twilight Zone, you can see all of them in series of when Black and White, Twilight Zone was on. So that's when I was a television watcher. I am not now. But I love Christopher Plummer. Love Christopher Plummer. And, you know, he passed. Chick Corea, you know, I have a really good friend that when I was a little girl, she would do salsa dancing in the room for show and tell, and I fell in love with salsa. I am not the best salsa dancer. I am not, but put on some salsa music, and I'm going to get out there, and I'm going to make it happen no matter what happens. Salsa, so Chick Corea, and, you know, just you know, Larry King, John Riley. Okay, when I was a college student, General Hospital, Laura and Luke. You guys remember Laura and Luke? We were just like riveted, Laura and Luke. Well, going on, there was also a person on there named Sean Donnelly. The actor's name was John Riley, and he passed away. And, you know, I just remember, you know, when folks from our lives pass away, we don't realize that they make up the history of our life, like Christopher Plummer and me watching him in the early parts of his career in movies that, you know, are probably forgotten and nobody, unless you watch TMC or something like that, you ever see. But the reality is he stayed vital and in the community until the end of life. And so, you know, Christopher Plummer, Hal Holbrook, oh my gosh, Hal Holbrook is just, okay, I can't even remember all of the sitcom shows that he led. I mean, if you know, write in the chat, let's share. Hal Holbrook was amazing and married to, oh my gosh, she was in Designing Women. But, you know, just incredible, incredible. Cloris Leachman, Larry King, Phil Spector, Joanne Rogers, Mr. Rogers' wife, Joanne, has gone to be with Mr. Rogers. So I just want to take a moment. And there's so many more, but I don't want to spend, you know, we only have a half hour together, so I want to make sure. But you know the names. And then all the names that are not famous, that are not a part of a CNN list, all the people that died of COVID or in their lives or cancer or anything else, anyone that you have lost. I light a candle, if I can get this match to work. I light a candle for those people and just say, let's just take a moment to think about all the lives that have been lost during this time. It is, for those of us that are believers, this is a holy time that we're getting ready to experience. And so there are those that have gone before us. And so let's just take a moment to remember the glorious lives. Hank Aaron, oh my gosh, Black History Month, Hank Aaron. You know, all these people that changed the trajectory because they walked among us. And it doesn't matter if you're a believer, as I am, or many of the watchers and followers of Life is a Sacred Journey. That doesn't matter. They changed your life, too, whether you know it or not. And so let's just take a moment for those individuals, and I'll hold the candle up as we do that. Thank you. So I'll leave this candle here. I'll put it back here so you can share in its glow. All right. So thank you for that. So let's get to another happy moment. I want to dedicate this podcast, broadcast, whatever we're calling it, to my cousin who turned 78 years old on Valentine's Day, Joe Pope. And I just want to lift him up and the Pope family. We got together via Zoom and celebrated this man, this glorious man that keeps our family connected and keeps the Pope side of the family, you know, knowing each other. We have so many generations. I think the youngest Pope is like maybe not even 4 or 5 months old, and we have Popes in the oven. So thank you, Joe Pope, for keeping the Pope family connected worldwide. Thank you for the love that you give us every single day. I dedicate this Life is a Sacred Journey to you and to my glorious Pope family, who I love and adore. Thank you so much for being, for allowing me to carry the same DNA as you all do. All right, thank you so much. And thank you to all the people out there who have February birthdays. Happy birthday. If your birthday happened before today, happy birthday. If your birthday is yet to come, happy birthday. All right. And if you know somebody out there that you want to wish happy birthday to, write it in the chat. All right. So I'm going to skip around now and talk a little bit about the vaccine because I have received my second vaccine. And I now am recuperating from my second vaccine. I will tell you, and after I looked at the podcast for a few minutes, I didn't look at it. I never look at them after the fact, but it happened to pop up on my feed. And, oh, my gosh, I was exhausted on Friday. And what I found out is that was a part of the one of the symptoms possibly that you can have after the first or second dose, and it happened for me. Because last Friday by 1 o'clock, I had hit a wall so hard it felt like a brick wall that I had to go home and go to bed and actually get some sleep. I will tell you that last night, according to my Fitbit, I am up to 83% sleep, and so that's good. And you can just see the difference. I can see the difference. I think when I was younger, I could sleep 2 hours and still wake up, throw a little cold water on my face, and skippity-doo-da. But not at this age. We really need to have our rest, and it makes such a big difference. And so I'm going to continue to share my sleep story with you. The day before, it was 73% because I stayed up later. Last night, I was in bed by 10 o'clock. And according to my Fitbit, it only took me about 30 minutes to fall asleep. And so that means I got a really good night's sleep, even though I got up at 5:30. So it is about that 8 hours for me. It may be different for you. And the closer I get to 100%, I think I'm going to feel so much better, and I will continue to share that. I am on my, 12th day of my raw food fast, and I am feeling magnificent. I am feeling magnificent. I know my good friend, Sister Paulini, is also doing it. And at the end of the day, I'm telling you, if you can physically, and again, not everybody can do this, because I'm telling you, eating raw food is. You've really got to do some shopping to get the different type of flavors that you need to satisfy your palate. I will tell you, because you have to chew a lot, I think the sensation of fullness happens quicker because everything is so crunchy and because you don't cook it at all. And I am doing very well. I have lost my sensation for sugar at all. I never drank put sugar in my coffee, but now I don't even want it in my tea. Not even the agave or honey. None of it. I'm drinking it without any sweeteners at all. So I'm going to extend it. I was only going to do it for 20 days, and now I've decided I'm going to extend it through the 40 days of Lent. And so at the end of that time, I will let you know, and we'll continue to share my story with you. I am taking vitamins, okay? So let me be clear. I am taking 5, 10. I'm taking almost 45 different vitamins a day in order to get through this fast, because there's minerals and things that I know, and then I'm juicing. I'm drinking juice that I use a blender all day long, carrot juice, pear juice, all of those things, mixing them all together. So you have to be careful. And I'm also realizing that the fog is lifting. This week, that's what I realized. My brain just went into alert. It's like it's right now. I'm burning on all stuff right now. My brain is just on fire. So I think that's the sort of the third week kind of thing that happens. And so I'll keep you abreast of it. But know that I am not telling you to do this. I'm just sharing my journey with you, and that those of you who can, with a doctor's permission, do this same thing, and you're healthy enough and have no underlining things that will make you sick by doing this, then look into it, discuss it with your doctor, and do what is best for you. I'm just sharing this with you. I have to always say that, because we're not all made the same. No matter, we're made the same as far as we all have a liver and la 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 la, but we're not made the same the way our metabolisms and different things work. So the raw food diet is a diet that I think is what I will continue, as I said, through the Lenten season, because I am a Christian and I do practice Lenten, Lenten practices, and fasting is one of them. But again, fasting is meaning you can fast from other things, okay? All right, so think about that. But again, just get healthy. Just, you know, you can get healthy without doing anything as dramatic as what I'm doing. But you can get healthy, doing that. And on top of it, I've lost like almost 17 pounds, believe it or not. I go for 2 walks a day. That's really all I'm doing right now, because I just haven't had the time to do Pilates and yoga and all that stuff. So just know that we can get to our optimum health at any age, whatever that may be. And Carolyn Brent, I want to thank you for teaching me that and for walking with me on this journey. I'm fortunate I have her as my sister in my life, and so I can email her and text her and ask her questions along the way. But I want to also thank her this morning, because look what I got in the mail, the Caregiver's Companion, caring for your loved one medically, financially, and emotionally while caring for yourself, by Carolyn A. Brent. And so thank you, Carolyn. I got my copy. I already had a copy, but now I have a copy from you, and I will treasure this one, and now I have one that I can give away. So this is, you already met Carolyn. We're going to have her back real soon by popular demand. Those of you who have reached out and said we need to have her back more often, we will do that. And she and I are thinking about starting something together down the road through my new experience called MPP, which is Michelle Polk Productions, and we go live March 1st, and we will begin all kinds of things there, online poetry readings. I'm going to be putting together a woman's retreat that we will announce for you to come to, and it's going to be a retreat for women, a spiritual retreat, and I hope you will join us for that. And I'm so excited that this has happened this year. So thank you, Felicia, for helping me with my dream, and thank you to the universal force that created me for giving me the courage to step out on faith and just to make it happen and not be afraid and to believe in something bigger than myself. So thank you so much. Michelle Polk Productions goes live in March, and you'll hear more about it, see more about it, and we will be inviting you to things that are specifically produced by that entity. And I'm not doing it alone. I've grabbed a whole bunch of people from all over the world that will be a part of that. So that's my universal community project that I'm so excited for. And yay, okay. So big storms. So this is a problem. I want to talk a little bit about COVID and the big storms and all of that, because I've heard from many of our family members who are trying to get their loved ones the vaccine, meaning they're over the age of 65 and older with underlying conditions, or themselves as caregivers. And again, they caregivers can be vaccinated. They're a part of that group, tier 1, tier 1E, B, or whatever. As I told you last week, we're in that phase. But according to the New York Times this morning, when I read it, the storms are delaying the vaccines, not just here in America, but throughout Europe. And that is the reason that we're having new iterations of the COVID disease, because there are places where the vaccine hasn't even hit. And so it's still having time to not only infect people, but to morph into a new version of itself. And so what does that mean? That means we're not out of the woods. It means that we still need to wear our masks. And I was shocked to read this. I want to bring it up. It says, shipment delays have been reported in California, Colorado, Florida, Illinois, Nevada, New Jersey, Ohio, Utah, and Washington, Oregon, and other states. And this has been forcing sites to temporarily close or change or reschedule appointments. I know I heard earlier in the month that people were having a hard time with getting through to their Kaiser physicians, waiting online, all of that. But I hear that's been cleared up a little bit. I hope that, in fact, is true. If any of you have an experience that you want to share in the chat, please share that because that will help others. If there's a clinic location, I know my good friend Sandy went to a place, I think she said Hercules. Sandy, I think you're online. Circuit at Hercules, and it was a drive-thru, so she didn't even have to get out of her car. So there are clinics, places, the libraries that are having it, so you do not have to wait for Kaiser if you can't get in there or you can't get a slot. You can, and when you fill out the form, it's going to ask you if you have insurance, and it's going to ask you if it's Medi-Cal or Senior Advantage or private. And if you have Kaiser and it's not managed care, meaning you're not receiving your Medicare or Medi-Cal benefits from it, then you are private, and you hit private, and that's it. They didn't even ask me for my Kaiser card. So, and some places have. So some places will ask to see your card or your Medi-Cal card or your Anthem Managed Care or whatever it is. But don't, if you're over the age of 65, let's help get it in the chat, folks. Share where you got your first vaccine and so that folks can find it. And then COVID California is a website that you can go to, and it has information as well about the different clinics. I know the Coliseum is opening up and will be a clinic site. But again, I know for those of us that are in our season of I want to call it something really cool. I don't want to call it the winter season because that just sounds so, I don't know. Help me to figure out a new word for the season of life that is like 60 and above, the most glorious time of a person's life, in my opinion. What should we call that? I don't want to call it the winter season. So write in the chat what we should call it because I need to think of a better way. But if you're 65 and up and your caregivers are trying to find a place, Let's work together to find locations where you can go. COVID California Online can also help you with that. But one of the other facts that I want to share that really, broke my heart is that Contra Costa County is one of the high-risk areas, and I did not know that in California. It stated, risk in your area. Contra Costa County, California is at a very high risk level. Now, I haven't had time to do some homework on that, but since I live in that county, I think it has a little bit to do with demographics. I think it, because we forget that Richmond and different areas of, you know, the county have a very high brown and black population, and from this report, it also says, and this was a shocking, that the U.S. life expectancy in 2020 with Black Americans was acutely affected, and COVID had a lot to do with that. So the life expectancy of brown and black people, specifically African Black Americans, has declined because of the COVID pandemic, and that it dropped by 2.7 years. So we've got to work together. I've been trying to get the African American Health Group to come on, and I'm going to work harder on that this week, Dr. Michael Lenore, to see if we can get him on so we can have a good conversation about this because this is scary. And it says California also is looking at pushing $12.6 billion to open the schools so that we can get the schools open, because what we're identifying is that the little people are losing track and losing their level where they were prior to the COVID pandemic. As much as we thought, and I was one of those people, and the pandemic has proven me wrong, as much as we thought our young people and little people and young adults, that the internet was their only way of communication, we were wrong. That they really are communicating with each other when they're physically together. And the fact that they're not physically together has hurt them very much. 9-year-old, I think I told you this last week. If I did, no, maybe I didn't because it was Valentine's Day. Maybe it was the week before because it's been a minute. 9-year-old committed suicide from depression. I was 9 years old a long time ago. But I'm here to tell you, at 9, I didn't know nothing about no depression. I was having a grand old time at 9. Okay? Now, fast forward to puberty, I got a little wonky. But at 9? No. And it's because of the isolation of not being able to interact. So that's another thing that we're looking at, not just here in California, but across the country. How can we reopen schools, maybe open schools during the summer so that young people can begin their education early? They're going to have to go to school year-round for the next year or two in order to catch up for those people that are in elementary, middle school, and high school. College students have continued to do the hard work and push through. I have one of them. I am so proud of her, and I'm so proud of all of you college students, that Brianna, all of you young people out there who I know who continue to persevere, and you're graduating or you already graduated, and you're going to do it virtual, but your families love you, and the community is just cheering you on, because I know that was hard. I've taken online classes as an adult learner, but that's very different because I didn't pay to go on a campus. But if I paid to go on a campus and thought I was going to have on-campus experience for 4 years and then wasn't able to do that for 2 years of it, I feel you. And I'm hoping that our administration will look at and our colleges will work together and do something to help these students, whether you went to a UC or whatever college you went to, even if you went to a private college, you know, don't be mad at people who went to private colleges and get isolate them from the equation. They too need help. My daughter went to a private college, but let me tell you, she worked hard to go to a private college, and it cost a lot of money, and she took a lot of loans, and she needs help. So at the end of the day, let's push that in whatever advocacy we can for our politics and politicians. Our young people need help. These last two, well, I guess it's three classes now, last three classes of college students, four classes of college students, and prior even because of the economy, we need to help them. They are the future of our economy and of everything that we leave behind. And if they're in debt, you know what happens to you when you're in debt over a period of time? When you can't buy nothing and all the money you make goes to paying bills and you have nothing left to show that you are doing anything? You know how demoralizing that makes you feel? When you can't invest in yourself and prepare for your old age, and then people tell you when you get old, you should have, but you couldn't. So let's advocate for some of this stuff as we move forward. You know, the next decade, because of this COVID pandemic, is going to be different than we could have ever imagined. could ever imagine. I pray I live long enough to come back to you at 73 and tell you how that decade went. Because it's changed the way we communicate. It's changed the way we see each other, because we had all this racism stuff that came out of it. Our politics, whoa, we're taking a real close look at our politics. I know I am. I pray you are. And I'm not talking about party stuff. I'm talking about the way our politicians behave. When you voted, I'm going to change the subject, because, you know, I did call this Michelle Pope's Ponderings. So you're going, I'm just dumping all my stuff on you this morning. When you voted for the person that you voted for, didn't you think they were carrying your thoughts and feelings into the arena of the decision making? Let me tell you something. I am a delegate. I am a lead delegate for the California-Nevada Conference. I was nominated by the congregations, the lay congregations of the California-Nevada Conference, to be a delegate to make decisions on behalf of the church, the global denomination of the United Methodist Church. When I go in to making those decisions and voting, I am voting with a heart that my vote or what I say is going to affect the lives of other people. So I have to be mindful. I have to think about everybody and then vote my best conscience. Discernment, thinking about, visualizing who this might affect, what this means long-term financially, what this will mean when I'm dead and gone, pushing up my tree, and what will it mean? And if politicians aren't doing the same thing, and they're asking for your vote and your campaign and dollars for their campaigns, pick up the phone and call their representatives and say, this is what I expect from you for my vote. If you chose to be a politician, you chose to be one of the best listeners of all time. That's halfway, that's part of your job, to listen. And then to do no harm. Thank you, John Wesley. Do no harm. And if you are over there in Washington, D.C., or the hallowed halls of government, anywhere that you walk and sit, talk and breathe, and your decisions are doing harm to the people that you call your constituency, then you're not doing your job. And you need to reevaluate whether it was your ego that made you go into that field of work, or was it because you had a heart for the people and a heart for the community and a heart for social justice? Those are the kind of politicians that I want, politician leaders that I want, serving my community and my country. And so that's what it's all about, not people raising their fists and creating anger and creating disdain and talking about it. I don't care if you don't like the Democratic Party or the Republican. I don't care. I don't care. I want you to do your job, okay? Because there are people suffering. And every day when I go to work, come to work, I see more and more tents on the street. So that tells me something is dead wrong. Dead wrong in the world today. And if I can't pick all those people up and take them to my house, oh God, if I win the lottery, because I'm buying lottery tickets, excuse me for gambling, but I am. I'm not spending a lot, so it'll have to be divine intervention for me to win. But if I do, I pray that I will win enough to make an impact on unshelteredness, because this is I almost said a bad word. It's a shame to see the amount of people that are living on the street. It just breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. And I know it breaks the heart of our Creator as well. So we got a lot to do, but there's also joy in the world. And I want to tell you a little joy. I met a young person, how long ago have I known this person? A long time. And I met them when they were beginning college, and now they're in their, they're in their 30s, this person. So a long time. And I just fell in love with the heart of this person and the fire for this person. And they emailed me the other day, and they are getting married. And they have asked me to be the person that officiates their wedding. And so I'm going to be doing that, and I'm so excited to be able to do that. And then in 2022, I've been asked to do that again for another couple that I love so much, another place. So I'm beginning to see that the seeds that we plant come back to bring us joy. And that's what it's all about. It's not about planting them with the idea that someone's going to come back and do something for you. You plant them freely, and then, oh, my gosh, the flowers just show up. You know, I realize I am a happy person. Yeah, I'm a happy person. I know that for some people, they don't want to believe that I am real. I got an email from, not an email, but one of the messages things from somebody saying, you know, just negative ninny. And they can't believe that I actually feel the way that I do. And they also said that I mention God too much. Well, I'm going to say it again, and I've said it 50 million times before. As the host of Life is a Sacred Journey, I bring my authentic self to this experience. My authentic self loves God. And I will never, nor will anyone ever, make me or put me in a position where I will deny that. I don't care who you are. So I just want to say that for the last time, hopefully, that I am not trying to make you anything. This is a forum of sharing. You eat the meat, throw away the bones. But please don't tell me not to talk about my God. Not to talk about the fact that I believe in Jesus Christ and that I'm a Christian. If that offends you and truly causes you sleepless nights, then this is not the platform for you. And that is way okay. And I'm way okay with that. And I wish you well. But please don't send me a direct message of any kind telling me that I should not speak my truth. You can do that to somebody else that will care, because I don't care. I don't that you feel that way. I'm sorry you feel that way, but I don't care that you feel that way. Because when you said what you said to me, you took it from a place of caring to an ugly place. And so I just have to say to you, and you know who you are, I wish you well, and if you ever, your heart ever gets softened, you are welcome back into the virtual neighborhood of Life is a Sacred Journey. You are welcome back. I have blocked you. Yes, I have blocked you, but you can see this. I know you can watch this, and you're probably watching this, but be well, angry person. Be well, because I will never let anyone tell me who I cannot worship, and I will never let any other human being steal my glory and my happiness. That ain't going to happen. That's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. All right. So thank you, My Life is a Sacred Journey family, for joining me for Michelle's ponderings today. And my last pondering is about you. You are incredible people. And in the world today, we need courageous and incredible people. And so one thing that I'm going to ask you to take into the last, whatever, 9 days of Black History Month, and then into the rest of your life, is where you see oppression, where you hear oppression, where you kind of feel that icky feeling when someone is saying something that is racist, sexist, all of it, any ism, speak up. Be courageous enough to speak up and tell them, that makes me uncomfortable. You don't even have to tell them they're wrong. You don't got to do that. Just say, you know what? That makes me uncomfortable because I don't feel that way. And that's it. You don't even have to have any more conversation. You can get up and say, and I respectfully remove myself from this conversation. Let's change the world, people. Let's change the world. Because the day will come, a year or so from now, when the pandemic will be in the rearview mirror of our lives and we'll start to fall back into habits that weren't good before and won't be good again. So let's try to fix and put those little pause buttons in now, so when our behavior starts to slip back into judgment, decay, and disdain and anger, that we hit the pause button because we remember that we're moving into a time of love, and we're moving into a time of unity, and we're moving into a time of humanity. And I hope, oh my gosh, I pray I live long enough to see it. I really, really do. But if I don't, I'll be looking down from the tree, and I hope that's what I see. So have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Be the change you want to see in the world, and hug yourself, reach out to someone that you haven't spoken to in a while, let them know you love them, miss them, and they matter. You might save their life. That call just might save their life. If you are someone that is out there that is depressed, feeling like the world is against you and there's no place to turn, please pick up your phone, call the Suicide Prevention Hotline, and talk to somebody. There are volunteers there that are there to listen, and they will help you through that moment. Please don't do it alone, because you're not alone. There are those of us out here who care about you, and we want to know that you're around for a future for you and for all of us, that if you're not in it, it won't be the same. So have a wonderful weekend. My name is Michelle Pope, and I've been your host for Life is a Sacred Journey on this Friday morning. And remember, life is sacred. There's nothing more sacred than it, and that's why we fight so hard to live it. So have a great day. Be well, my friends, and peace out. Think I get it? Oh! My baby! My baby! Oh, my baby girl! I have to go back live a minute. Oh, my God! Okay, hold on, hold on. Okay, hold on. Okay. Okay. Oh, no. Oh my God, let me go in here. Say hi to my baby. Is this a video? No. Okay, hold on. So at first I have to turn it. Okay. Put it here. Am I making a video? Hey Liv, this is Michelle. I saw you watching the show this morning. I am so happy that you watched the show, my little goddaughter. I love you so much. You have a good day. Love you. Live, live. Oh, my baby. Oh. Okay, I gotta get on another call, but I gotta go to the bathroom. Good morning. Watching me on the thing. They sent a picture of her watching me on their phone. Bless her heart. They want to make sure she knows me so that when she sees me, she does not like, oh, yeah, who's that woman? Because I'm going to want to go, oh. That's so sweet. Okay.